Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to our first episode of our podcast, Read the Damn Room. It's hosted by myself, Mitali, and my friend Liv. This podcast was recorded on Tuesday, January 12th, prior to an email sent by Chapman University President Daniele Struppa, which said that Chapman and Eastman had come to an agreement pursuant that he would retire effective immediately. Listen to our commentary from Tuesday before this happened, and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hi, Mitali. How are you doing?
I'm struggling, but we out here. We're trying.
Well, welcome to our podcast, Read the Damn Room, with your hosts. I'm Olivia. You can call me Liv, though. I feel like everybody does.
And I'm Mitali.
That's Mitali. And today we're going to be talking about this John Eastman Chapman University scandal, which, what else is new? Chapman University is always in a scandal. And what is considered free speech? Let's get into it.
John Eastman, like, he literally lives in my mind rent-free, and he doesn't even know that I exist, but I can do a full biography on this man if I wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, like, Chapman and John Eastman just makes sense, you know? It's like two peas in a pod, like, racist bullshit that continues to be spewed out of people's mouths incessantly. And I told you that I wanted us to be able to cuss on this podcast just so I could say John Eastman is an asshole.
That's the title. We're gonna have swear words in all of our titles from now on. No, I'm kidding.
Ooh, that's kind of a cute thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a thing. It shows our anger, women's anger,
this weird idea that, like, women can't curse. Today, we're talking about John Eastman.
Exactly. Today, we're talking about how he's an asshole. No, I'm kidding. Well, yes, basically. There's been, like, recent backlash against him. There's been backlash, I would say, for the past, like, 6 months, because he has just been so active in this election. I recently learned that him and Rudy Giuliani are, like, really hella good friends, like, in the worst way. My theory is that Rudy Giuliani is a donor to Chapman. That's my theory.
That's a spicy theory.
I'm like a conspiracy theorist. I'm like Alex Jones on the low. I'm literally just guessing. Like, I'm literally just like, how can I stir the pot today? But Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman are friends, so we know that. But basically, like, there's a ton of backlash right now against Chapman and against the president of Chapman, Daniele Struppa, because John Eastman went on stage with Rudy Giuliani, like, during, like, a DC speech or something, and they caught him on video doing this. But basically he was saying that we should challenge the result of the election and Trump should have won and all this stuff. And on the news and, like, across, like, the national news outlets, it says Chapman University professor John Eastman. Like, we are literally being publicly shamed nationally, and the president of Chapman, like, refuses to fire him, which does not make any sense to me at all.
Well, and let's not forget, like, this happened the day of the insurrection, the mobbing. Literally. So, like, also, like, he kind of helped start an insurrection. Like, I guess we should also point that out, that after he gave his speech, a bunch of domestic terrorists stormed the Capitol building, and we're talking about killing Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi and all this other drama. So it's just interesting to me, because I feel like now that Chapman is getting national, like, hate, now, like, there's, like, a sense of urgency. And yet, even though there is a sense of urgency, it's still but free speech.
Nothing is being done. Like, this isn't even the first time that Eastman has, like, embarrassed us as a university. Like, this is actually the third time. The first time was when in August he published an op-ed to Newsweek, or he got an op-ed published by Newsweek, mm-hmm. where he, like, questioned Kamala's eligibility to be vice president, just because her parents weren't born in the U.S. One of her parents was Indian and the other was Black. And I think they were both immigrants. So he was like, well, why? Like, she shouldn't be able to. Like, we should look into that. And, like, basically, like, that's how him and Trump, like, became friends. And then, like, you know, everyone called Eastman out for, like, birtherism and his horrible, horrible viewpoints and just who he is as a person. And then Newsweek, like, took it down and they were like, we're so sorry we published this. And it's like, I feel like the question for everybody was like, why did you do that in the first place? Like,
right. Well, and there's this, I have this like weird, like, I don't know, I don't think it's that weird, but it's an unpopular opinion that I think objective news is very racist a lot of the time. I think this idea of we have to let everybody have a viewpoint, like we have to let like racists like have their viewpoint. I don't know. We shouldn't be condoning racism. It's violent. It is. And I think, you know, so what am I trying to say? I think that like this idea of like him being involved in this birtherism scandal, like as someone who's been paid to write, like, and it's Newsweek, like I know he was paid a bundle to write that piece. I know he was paid so much money. Cause I've, you know, published in like, you know, semi-major outlets before. So I know how much money there is to be made on a piece like that. And especially since it's so controversial, they also are going to extend you more money because it's like, well, you're willing to say it with your whole chest. So I don't know. If I had to guess, he was probably paid probably about $1,000 to write that piece.
It's literally about where the money resides.
Where the money resides. Where the money
resides. Like, it's literally all about money. Like that's, I feel like that's how Trump got elected in the first place. Cause news outlets and like all these places and like all these people are like, oh my God, like this is content,
right.
But content is killing people. It's like a slow burning genocide that's been happening. No, I'm serious. Like we're literally, how many deaths are we at? Cause of coronavirus, like 300,000 was blocked.
300,000.
I literally stopped looking. Cause I was like, I have mental illness. I can't, I need to be in my own reality. The real reality is just not it.
And we know that, like, it kills predominantly Black and brown people, so...
And that's why you see all these white people like, I don't want to wear a mask.
Capitalism is so violent. It's, like, not even funny.
I wonder if Eastman even got any money because, like, they took it down. Like, I feel like... I don't even know.
Because even if you don't... He's a lawyer, so I have no doubt that he read his contract. Even if they didn't pay him in full, which if they published it at all, they have to pay you in full. They would have paid him for a kill fee. So, which is typically about 50% of what they would, pay you if the piece had been published. But once it like goes up, it's not, you know, it's not my fault that you decided to be dumb and choose to publish my article. What does that have to do with me? I did the work. You paid for the labor.
And speaking of him being a lawyer, like, this was the second time that John Eastman embarrassed everybody and like, you know, America. There were literally some like court documents to sue for some lawsuit, you know, to like challenge the election results. And guess who offered to be Trump's lawyer?
John Eastman.
And who? What email address did he use?
His Chapman email.
On legal documents. Like you really just didn't go to like yahoo.com and like make an email. Like you just couldn't, you don't have any other email other than your Chapman email.
It's very similar to like the, like, I don't know, Hillary Clinton email you were using your...
But no one cares because he's a man.
Right.
No one cares because he's a man. That's literally...
He's a white man who is friends with... what people consider the most powerful person on earth, the president of the United States.
Like, why are Eastman and Giuliani friends? Like, how, what? No, ew.
They bond over racism. What do you mean, how are they friends?
That's fair. It's just disgusting to me, but like, it's just the fact that someone like that can be employed at like Chapman University. Like, does that not like come up in like a job interview? Like, oh, I'm looking at your previous work and you said that, you know, people who are born of immigrants shouldn't be granted citizenship. You know, that's cool. What? Like, I don't get it. And like, now it's like it's like the third and final straw. I don't know. But it's like this whole inciting a riot situation where he was like speaking on a national stage with Chapman's name, like right there. And, like, this all goes back to, like, 2000, I think it was 2010, I remember we were covering this at the Panther at the time, or not at the time, but like at the kind of like beginning of the semester, or maybe it was last semester, I don't remember. Basically, Eastman ran against Kamala Harris in 2010 to be California Attorney General, and he lost.
It just sounds like he's salty to me.
He's salty. And then right after he lost, he got his position right back at Chapman, and he was like the dean of the law school before that, and now he's just like a Chapman professor on tenure. And like now, literally 10 years later, he is still salty. He's still like, she shouldn't be able to be VP. Like, maybe you shouldn't be able to be a lawyer.
Yeah, we need to get him disbarred. And I would say that there are a lot of people who are coming up with action plans for that. So Chapman BSU, shout out to y'all, my old stomping ground. There was some other guy, I think his name is Daniel. I don't know who he is, but he put together a whole presentation of like how different things that people can do to have John Eastman disbarred. And the bottom line is he just like needs to be, there needs to be consequences for people's actions. And funny enough, now that they're talking about impeaching Trump for a second time, Mitch McConnell is talking about good. And I'm like, these people just don't want to be caught like in the crossfires. We supported this man for the last 4 years, and I don't know. I just feel like with this whole John Eastman situation, like there are consequences for your actions, sir. You were really like out here with Chapman, like sprawled across your name on national television talking about their election results aren't real and there were secret folders and all this drama. What is the drama for, sir? You have tenure. All you had to do was sit back, relax, and let your money come in. And you couldn't even do that. You know, and now you got to be disbarred and everything. It's horrible.
Like, he could have been a closeted racist his whole life. And like,
oh, he was. Right. And that's all thanks to Trump. Honestly, maybe Trump's what we needed as a country, because now we know who all the racists are, you know? They were hiding on QAnon and Parlay. I found out today it's pronounced Parlay and not Parlor. You don't know what that is?
No, girl. That's how much I'm disassociating. Like...
Okay, Parlay is an alt-right social media website that, like, all the racists that are, like, on Twitter and Facebook and stuff were, like, come over here, like, before all of our accounts get deleted. And funny enough, Amazon dropped their affiliation with the website after what happened last week. And so now the website is completely shut down because they don't have a big enough domain to like host all their users.
Drain the swamp.
Drain the swamp, motherfuckers.
Oh my God. I feel like all Trump supporters should just delete all their social media accounts in solidarity with Trump.
I saw a tweet about that and I'm patiently waiting.
The only right thing to do.
Also, like, how do you get banned from Pinterest or Spotify?
Was he even on there? I don't even know. Like, I feel like the only social media that he was, like, intellectually capable of understanding is Twitter. And, like, I don't even think he reads his own tweets before he sends them. Hit send. I don't care.
No, but, like, yeah, Trump's been banned from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Spotify, Snapchat, TikTok, Google. How do you get banned from Google? Like, this man is doing his searching on Bing now. He's not allowed to use Google anymore. This man's been banned from Google.
Like, and remember when he was gonna like ban TikTok and then like TikTok banned him? And I'm like,
we love to see it.
We love to see it. And it's like, it just took one. Like, it literally just took Twitter to be like, you know, he's done a lot of bad stuff, but I mean, violence, I think this one is the absolute worst. And then they were like, okay. I mean, he killed 300,000 people. That's fine. But you know, Mike Pence, God forbid somebody hurt Mike Pence and mother.
Well, and it's like, I was talking to my dad about this today. Like, I feel like as a Black person, and I would say probably for you too, as like a brown person, and like just like, I would say people in color, LGBTQ people, like, we've all been saying something like this is going to happen. Like, y'all understand that, right? Like, something. And so this whole element of like shock and enragement after what happened, I just don't understand. I mean, like, it was very harmful and problematic for my mental health, don't get me wrong, but shocked was not an emotion that I was experiencing. And, you know, it took y'all 4 years to ban this man for, quote unquote, inciting violence. But like, literally, like,
he's done that like since before his campaign, like
after the Charlottesville incident where that poor girl got run over by a car by that, like, by them Nazis and all those Nazis. And he called them fine, very fine people on both sides. Like, OK, then even just like a couple months ago during the debate, he said, "Proud Boys, stand back and stand by." Like, what do you think he was doing? Like, y'all are acting like this man is acting brand new. He's not acting brand new.
I understand why people are like, he's not like other politicians, because like, he actually like does what he says he's going to do. But it's like in the most dangerous way possible. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. Like, unlike Chapman. They claim to like love diversity and inclusion. We want to hear all your voices, except, you know, if you're saying down with white supremacy. Like, I remember like people were posting about like the sit-in or stand-in at the vigil, and like Chapman admin was like deleting people's like comments or like like, what happened to free speech, baby? What happened? Where'd it go?
Right.
It's crazy. And like the fact that in his emails to like the student body and like to the Chapman community, he's like, basically this is what he says. Like, this is a screenshot that I have from the email. He says, "Just a few months ago, when the impeachment of President Trump was the center of our attention, we all repeated an important mantra: not even the president is above the law." Yes, he is. For most of us, this is a very important statement, because it says we are all indeed equal under the law. Even the most powerful person in the country, even the president, must respect the law. I now find myself asked by many to violate exactly that statement. I'm not the emperor of Chapman University, nor am I the supreme leader of Chapman University. I am the president of the university, and as such, am bound by the laws and processes that are clearly spelled out in our faculty manual. Homie cannot even edit a PDF document over white supremacy. This like, and it's just like, I'm not the supreme leader. Like, okay, but like, is there a higher power at the university?
The email before that for me, when he was talking about like, we're not going to embarrass ourselves by violating our own like student like code of conduct or whatever for our faculty and staff. I'm gonna try to find it right now.
Which is like so hypocritical, because like, if he was worried about PR and what people think of Chapman, the best thing that they could do is, as a university and as administration, be like, this guy is bad, we're getting rid of him. And that would be the best PR for Chapman that they could ever imagine.
Right. Or, you know, based on our code of conduct, unfortunately, we are not able to just fire him, but we are calling for him to resign, because
they act like we're asking Chapman to like publicly hang him. Like, I mean, I'm not going to comment on how I'd feel about that, because I would probably get hunted down by the FBI. But like, we're not asking for something out of the question. We're not asking for something that is impossible for him to do. Is he going to go to court if he, you know, messes with some old racist guy's tenure? Like, why is tenure more important than him being a literal terrorist? Like, he's inciting violence.
Here's the email. Eastman's actions are in direct opposition to the values and beliefs of our institution. Are they? He has now put Chapman in the position of being publicly disparaged for the actions of a single faculty member, and for what many call my failure to punish and fire him. If it's determined laws were broken, we will take appropriate action. But based on what we know now, we will abide by the policies in our faculty manual, which clearly state what actions are protected. I will not subject the university to further humiliation by taking steps that may cause us to violate our own set of policies and ultimately lead us to further embarrassment. Basically, what they're saying is, yeah, we think what he did is bad and he's embarrassing us, but we think it would be more embarrassing to not follow our policies. So in order to save ourselves from further embarrassment, we're not going to fire him until we figure out whether or not he broke the law.
Your silence speaks, like, that's the worst. Like, if you're worried about PR, that is the absolute worst option, like the worst path you could take.
Yeah.
And it's like, it also shows that, like, what Eastman did is not a fireable offense. What happens when other professors at other universities start being like, you know what? I think Trump has a point. Or, like, I think, you know, Rudy Giuliani is, like, a really smart guy. And I'm going to go on television in front of the entire country and challenge an election. Like, this isn't even, like, he made us look bad because he, like, you know, got arrested or something like that. He literally incited a coup. It's not a fireable offense to you. Then what is a fireable offense?
Right. We'd like to know. I'd love to know. And just this lack of this, like, understanding that this is dangerous for students of color on your campus. Like, I think Chapman loves to brush under the rug incidents of, like, the All Lives Matter flag and burning swastikas into the dorm buildings that happened my freshman year. You know, but let's not forget about Dayton Kingery. Y'all should look up that man if you don't know what I'm talking about. This man was drunk on the first day of classes, calling people the N-word and acting a fool. So, and Chapman, just like every time something like this happens, is this is not who we are. Let's hold a forum. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. The Patriot stickers that were showing up on campus, like, it's just always something. And people know that they can get away with it, which is why they do it.
And, like, by continuing to, like, not do anything, they are like, hey, like, if I kill somebody and nothing happens, that means that, like, I can, like, keep killing people and nothing will happen. Like, it's a precedent. Like,
right, exactly.
If John Eastman is the lawyer he says he is, he has to know precedent. And, like, there's never really been a situation like this with, like, a university that I know of, or at least with Chapman. But it's, like, what happens to him will set a precedent for every single other scandal that happens. Dayton Kingery, I mean, we talked about this. We both feel like he left before he could have been, like, expelled or whatever. Because, like,
right,
all Strupa said was, like, he doesn't go here anymore.
He definitely left. Because if you leave, it's like you withdrew. If you get expelled, that's a completely different situation for you in terms of your transcript. Now, all you got to do is a quick Google search to see that he's a racist. But, you know, it's just, like, for me, it's interesting that you bring up this point of precedence, because that's the whole reason the House is going through with impeaching Trump tomorrow, is because they have to set a precedent of, you know, if you commit punishable offenses like this, we will go through with impeaching you. And I think it's interesting that even senators as cold and heartless and probably not even human as Mitch McConnell, literally the Senate Majority Leader at this point, is saying that he's glad that they are bringing impeachment charges towards him because he believes that he broke the law, which is just so fascinating to me, because it's like it's a last-ditch effort to save their party and the fragmentation of their party so they can't look like complete and total, you know, racists. And a violent party, even though we know that they're a violent party. Not to say the Democrats aren't a violent party. Anyway, this is, like, back to my point of the fact that Chapman has to question whether or not they should set precedents in this situation is disturbing. It's very disturbing to me.
Mitch McConnell's body, or his arm or hand or whatever, is rotting off the rest of his body because of how disgusting he is. Girl, what happened last time when he was going to get impeached? This goes for John Eastman and it goes for Trump. If they get off scot-free, that sets a precedent for every single person after them that does the same exact thing or something similar. That's literally why we care so much. Do you think I care about an old man being racist and representing my school? No. I don't care. I graduated. Like, I'm done. But it's like, I have to bring up in job interviews, like, oh, I went to Chapman University. You know what they know Chapman for?
Right.
A racist. And you know what they know Chapman for? Not doing anything.
I'm about to change my resume to say that I graduated from Wilkeson College of Arts and Humanities. Because it can't, Chapman University? No. Don't know her. Oh, Strupa. Strupa, Strupa, Strupa. I told you my theory about him is I think he uses this, like, he gave us literally the cross-cultural center to hide the fact that he was going to do a bunch of, like, racist and horrible stuff. And now we are where we are because nobody thought that he was going to be this person. Everybody thought he was going to be the smiling Italian man who, like, gets us free pasta and pizza in the piazza every year. Which, like, not to say that Chapman wasn't already racist, but I do think it's gotten worse since he became president of the university.
Is there hope for Chapman?
I don't know if this is the right thing to say because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there has been this, like, huge, like, pushback to the university before, but as far as I'm concerned, like, from when I was in school to the progress that, like, organizations like the BSU have made since I've been gone, I think that the way that they've been able to rally people to stand with them, and I think that there is hope in the sense of, if we can continue to embarrass them on a national and scale, I think there will be changes to the university because the only language that they speak is money. So I think if it's on a national scale, you know, they not going to be acting the way that they're acting right now because all they care about is their pocket.
And it's like, that's why boycotting is like, and I'm going to put this in lieu with cancel culture in the sense that, like, the reason people are like, oh, don't shop at Amazon, Jeff Bezos is bad, don't shop at Chick-fil-A, they donate to conversion therapy. The whole concept of a boycott is from the civil rights era. And when you boycott something, you apply economic pressure so that they are forced to do what you want. If Chapman has a national recognition, is nationally recognized for being that predominantly white institution that didn't do anything about that racist guy who shouldn't be a lawyer. Like, I know people that are in, like, Chapman parent forums that are like, I regret sending my kid to this school. My own dad is like, we literally spent all this money on a degree from a university that is embarrassing. Like, I'm ashamed. Like, people are ashamed. Like, I know people that transferred out of Chapman University that were like, girl, what a mess. Like, thank God I'm out of that place. Like, if we are able to, like, vastly reduce the amount of people that are applying or make people drop out or just applying economic pressure by either boycott. Like, that's the only other way other than just, like, mobilizing the student body. Cause, like, I can't really think of any other way that Chapman will get the message.
Something that was always said is like, well, I wouldn't be doing all this work if I didn't care and I wanted to be better. And I think that that's true. Like, you know, as someone who organized and on that campus and was looking for there to be a better future for students to come, like, there had to be some level of, you know, concern and care. Like, if I just didn't care, I wouldn't have done it, you know? But I think I wrote a whole piece called Chapman Says It Will Do Better When. Like, I'm still waiting. The other one they always say, we were one of the first schools, if not the first schools, to have integrated learning. Or
Chapman prides itself. It's like Martin Luther King came to speak at Memorial Hall like a million years ago. It's like, you can't ride that legacy forever.
Right.
There was this one girl, I forget her name, but she sent an email to Strupa and she was like, I used to be like a tour guide and I would tell, you know,
Maria Harfouch.
Yes, 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 yes. She was talking about how, like, she was a tour guide and she would tell people, like, oh, it's really, like, Chapman is a great place for, like, diversity inclusion. And she's like, I lied to them. And it's not her fault, but it's just, like, she's not wrong.
Right. I love Maria. She was in my year for school. So and we've had, like, long conversations about things like that. It's just like, you know, oh my God, I remember when we were protesting the Birth of a Nation poster and I saw that there was this black girl, she was touring with her parents, and I literally looked at her and I was like, don't come here, it's a trap. I was like, don't come here, it's a trap. And her parents were laughing at me, but, like, it's true, girl, don't come here. It's weird because, like, it's one of those things where, like, I want to tell, you know, students who get in, like, oh yeah, like, it's been getting better, but, like, I don't feel like it's getting better. Like, I just feel like that there are more excuses that continue to be made for their behavior. And, you know, I hope that maybe Struple will hear this and he will realize that he is literally defending. He, you know, he always brings up in his emails that, like, you guys are calling me a cowardice and a racist and da 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 da, all this. And, you know, maybe people are saying those things for a reason. You know, we know you voted for Donald Trump, Struple. We know that. We know he did. You can't tell me otherwise.
Right. Like, we all saw Lisa Sparks' campaign for what was she even doing? I don't even know. I wasn't even paying attention. But, like, the fact that
I don't remember. Congress, state senate, something.
Something. Either way, she lost. This is How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. In one part, he says, you're either racist or you're anti-racist. There's no middle ground, it doesn't exist. It's one or the other. There's no spectrum. I'm like, I'm a little racist, but like mostly anti, and it doesn't work like that. You're one or the other. Your inaction means that you're a racist. But if you do something, that shows that maybe Chapman might be on the road to being anti-racist. Because based on Chapman's history, it's very racist. It doesn't change. It does that. That doesn't change if Martin Luther King came on campus once or Angela Davis came to to visit or to be a guest speaker. You can invite as many minority guest speakers as you want, but the whole world is watching. And there, you can either be racist or anti-racist. Like, there's no in between. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. There's a lot of complacency. And I don't know. I think you're right. Like, the spectrum of racism is very binary. I wish Struple would read the damn room.
Read the damn room, Struple.
And realize it's not in his favor right now. We're going to put these out weekly. And you get to hear me and Mitali rant once a week, every week. And we're going to read the damn room.